Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And we're in the middle of February now. How'd that happen?
This should be our love letter to Sonoma County since yesterday was Valentine's Day.
All right. So it is.
And I love Sonoma County.
So it will be.
So there you go.
Okay.
I should have brought you a box of hearts.
A box of hearts.
Those little conversations. Wow.
I'm like, what?
Wow.
And I should have brought you some peeps.
Oh, there you go.
Because there's nothing unhealthy in a peep.
Right? Yeah. I know. Well, there's that. So, with so much going on, we just got back from, don't be jealous, the World Ag Expo.
Why? I am jealous.
Why?
jealous. I'm sort of wondering, like, why would I not be jealous? And
that's like farmer's paradise. Like,
I
feel like when farmers think about like heaven, it's either their ranch or it's a big trade show with lots of tractors and equipment. Like,
well,
that's
of course.
Like, yeah.
But I remember some pretty funny stories told on this very show by Gail Dutton.
Oh, for sure. And Mal Sanchetti.
Yeah. About traveling down to the World Ag Expo in what? Some sort of fancy old car?
Yeah, I think it might have been the Thunderbird.
It was not a truck. So,
yeah.
Sometimes they give up their trucks for other things.
Right. So we were there at the invite of John Deere, which is great. Mm. And they have a huge, obviously, footprint at the World Ag Expo. It's always fun to hang out there. And it kind of makes me laugh because they invited a couple of our pilot farmers that they're working with, Tyler Click and Brett Munsell and my husband, Steve, to head down there, and it was like the fastest yes I've gotten. Like, because normally I'm like, hey, do you want to host blah blah blah, do you want to take someone out in your truck, do you want to do this? And it's like, oh, let me look at my calendar. It was like, yes. I'm like, do you want me to tell you more details? No, we're good. We'll see you there.
We'll cancel everything.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun, and always great just to walk around. And it's fun because that's actually where you start to see new equipment, new tractors, sort of what's ahead, kind of a bit of a vision for the future, which you know I love, through our whole Farm of the Future effort that you participate in. Do you see how I'm connecting all these dots?
I know, I'm like, what?
We started with Valentine's Day and ended at the Ag World Expo, and now I'm connecting the dots to our Farm of the Future Summit, which we're going to do next summer again.
Okay.
So, this summer.
Connect a few more dots because something called BUSA.
What is BUSA? So that is
It's coming to town.
Yeah. So that is the Best Sommelier of the Americas, plural. So it ladders up. It's a precursor to the Best Somm of the World competition. And so this week we have Master Sommelier Doug Frost and Master Sommelier Evan Goldstein in town with, I think in total, we're going to have like 70 folks from around the Americas and the world here, because it's the judging team and sort of the event organization team, as well as the competitors. I believe there's 10 competitors. Might not have that number exactly right. So we are hosting them a bunch. They're going to be in competition, but then we're also doing master classes around it. We're hosting the entire group out at Dutton Ranch for a tour and hangout. So we'll masterclass with the wineries and winemakers in Sonoma County, and then a ranch tour and dinner with a bunch of our growers, farmers in Sonoma County while they're here. So full immersion in Sonoma County. Plus, they're going to be hanging out with a lot of our winery partners who will be popping in to host them late night, sort of like guest winemaker at their Somm bar at the hotel. There's going to be fireside chats.
That's just dangerous.
There's a lot. There's a lot going on.
The late night part, you know, post 2 a.m. sommelier world.
Yeah, I'm not going
different
for that.
Different gear. That's a different gear.
I'm hosting a masterclass and then the dinner, and then I'm going to go to bed. So I will not be part of the late night hosting because I'm more on farmer hours now, which means I get up at like 5.
Okay. So the masterclass will focus on what? The diversity of Sonoma County, sustainability of Sonoma County, all great things Sonoma County.
All of those. Yeah. So that's really our core sort of foundational masterclass. So tasting through, you know, the different varietal wines here that are really instrumental to what we grow and make. And also just, like you said, an overview of Sonoma County, the AVAs, our sustainability commitment, a little bit about our growers and vintners, and then we'll try a bunch of wines.
Do you get a sense that a lot of these sommeliers who come have not had a lot of Sonoma County wines yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always interesting because they're experts on wines around the world, but to really have that immersion, I think is going to be really great for them and for us to continue to share our story.
Makes all the difference in the world.
More ambassadors.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will introduce our in-studio guest.
Yes.
Today on The Good Stuff with our guest Dan Costa in studio, founder, owner of Convene by Dan Costa. Welcome to
our
show.
Thank you. Yeah. So good to be back.
I know. Well, and you've brought a special guest. So who else have we got here?
I did. I have been working with this person for 10 years on other projects, and we're kind of growing up with Convene together, and that is Sarah Sorgel, good friend and wonderful PR and marketing extraordinaire.
All right. So, Sarah, welcome also.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
I didn't want to leave you out of the conversation, which, yeah.
Do you know what's so nice is when someone else introduces you and they can say all these nice things about you and you get to just sit there and smile?
Yeah.
It's all
amazing.
True. It's all true.
It is all true. I know her too, and it is all true. So, there you go.
Far too kind. Thank you.
All right. So, I mean, a lot of people know your story, Dan. I mean, you've grown up, you're a Sonoma County guy, you worked in restaurants, you founded a couple other little brands here and there, small, not very well known.
Yeah.
And now you're doing something else. So you're welcome to give kind of your background
audience.
I insist.
We have listeners outside of the U.S. who may not be as familiar
with
Dan
as we are in our own. The one Russian listener might not know who you are yet.
Well, it's true. I've known you both for years and years. So it's like, okay, well, man, where do I start? You already know the story, but like you said, we have to shout it out for everyone else. But Michael Brown and I started making wine together in 1997. So, and then officially started Costa Brown in 1999 while we were working down the road at John Ash & Company here in Santa Rosa. And it took a little while to get off the ground, but man, when we did get off the ground, it went really fast. So we found a good amount of success in the mid-2000s. And we brought on private equity as partners in 2009. And at that point, that was when we kind of knew that we weren't going to be there forever. And so your brain just starts planning next steps no matter what. And it took a while for us to leave Costa Brown. In fact, the last sale was to Duckhorn Winery or the Duckhorn Group at the end of 2017. And that's when Michael Brown and I both left. And he had started his project, Cirque and Chev. And I wanted to start something also. And I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to do Costa Brown Part 2. Mm-hmm. I wanted the project to reflect, you know, growth and experience in the wine industry. And Sarah was very instrumental in brainstorming how we were going to do it, what we were going to do, how we were going to do it, the branding. And then, so we started in 2019, was our first vintage of Convene. Mm-hmm. And we had bottled the wine without really any branding, what we would call shiners, so no label even. Mm-hmm. And then COVID hit. And so Sarah and I basically were on like a year-long retreat putting together this brand idea. So everything was very deliberate, and it was really kind of the silver lining of COVID for us was the creativity that we were allowing ourselves to really embark on. And what I wanted to do is not just Convene. Our company is called DK Wine Group, and that includes three different brands, all focused on Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, but Convene is definitely the workhorse. So Convene, Sarah actually created that name as well. And it's just the idea of the three brands. We have Admire, we have Convene, and we have DK Grail. warm, welcoming, inclusive type of branding. And that's what, well, obviously the name Convene. It's amazing how many people mispronounce Convene.
Really? What do they say?
Isn't that a normal word? I mean, they'll do convene or convene or convene. I'm like, it's convene. We're convening.
Yeah,
we're getting
convening.
Together, right?
So, I like the convene.
But it's amazing.
I mean, convene.
Convene.
You're trying to throw in the Italian side or something, or the French. Yeah.
Right. Well, you do make Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pinot Noir.
So, come on.
Yeah.
But Sarah, did you work with Dan at Kosta Brown? Was that sort of the initial relationship, or was this all new, like coming in to think about convene and all these other brand.
Yeah, I did meet Dan while he was at Kosta Brown. I did not work for Kosta Brown, but my husband did. So my husband and I had just met, and we're starting to date and working in Pinot Noir. Harvest hit, and my boyfriend disappeared. He was working all the time, and so the only way I could see him was to go and volunteer at the winery for a pickup party.
Oh my gosh!
So
I
was the
cheese
girl.
That's awesome.
Forever, and nice. So that was my job. So. I proved I could cut the cheese, and I was competent in that, and the rest is history.
You were bringing people together already. Right?
Yeah.
But give a shout out to your husband, because he has moved on from Kosta Brown and is also a winemaker.
Yeah, so my husband is Pete Sorgel, and so we met in 2008. He was working for Dan and Michael at the time, and we ended up getting married, and he's moved on to Linmar Estate and is very happy there and continues to make great Pinot Noir. And it's a big part of our life, getting to work with such wonderful projects, vineyards here in Sonoma County, and work with vintners that have big vision.
So, well, you guys know how tight-knit this community is. It's like everyone knows everybody, and it seems like everyone has worked everywhere else.
And somewhere they're all related.
Yes.
I just haven't connected all the dots yet.
Especially on the farming side.
On the farming side, literally. Like, there's not a big enough whiteboard to do all
and
the
family
cool. tree.
And that's another part of our name, Convene. It's kind of like this this coming together of experiences, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I do want to give a shout out to Kosta Brown, because I think it was kind of the university of Pinot Noir in a way. I mean, so many great winemakers that we know now at other places.
Front of the house and back of the house.
Worked at Kosta Brown. Mm-hmm. So it was a kind of a formative place for people to learn, to get the opportunity to do a lot of different vineyard designates. And
for sure. I that's a great takeaway for us to be able to, you know, pass on what we've learned too, because we weren't formally trained either.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of on the job training, and for people to that's what I'm probably most proud of, is for people to have Kosta Brown on their resume as like the top thing for them.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Well, and it was your wines and barrels that actually was the first time I tried Pinot Noir in different barrel toastings.
Is that right?
Same. Mm. Yep. I think you were at the Freeman.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that was way back. See, in those days, we remember the first part of the tasting. We really don't remember the last part of the tasting, because it was probably 3 hours.
It was a long tasting. Yeah. It was excellent, but it was just striking to me, because we were just starting. I'd moved here yet, and it was a tasting, and I was like, wow, medium toast versus heavy toast. This, you know, oak barrel versus this oak barrel. Like, it just put such an exclamation point, because you try barrel samples, but not consecutively same, essentially, wine.
It's really important, and people don't get a chance to do that.
So thank you, because you were part of my wine education.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. I think what you realize when you do that kind of stuff is people say, well, what sets your wine apart? It's like, they're looking for that one thing. Yeah. It's like, no, it's hundreds of things.
Hundreds of small things that add up to one great thing.
And that's the, like, that barrel thing. It's like, holy cow.
I know, right?
There's infinite, possibilities of blends and all this other stuff.
Yeah, it just really demonstrated the complexity of wine.
Yeah.
And winemaking. Yeah.
But that's what's so fun about working with Dan, is you do have a curiosity to explore those little things like differences in toast, and you share that, you know, that interest and that interest level. And so, you know, throughout the project and working together, I've learned a ton too, because it's, you know, barrel toast or different vineyards, different clusters, you know, tons of things that just come up, and it's that constant curiosity that keeps us evolving, which is so fun.
Right? Because there's no, you know, you need a few lifetimes to really learn about, to master wine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why You know, we have a wine called The Approach, and part of that, the reason that we named that is because it's our approach to a great wine, but it's also the approach, like a nautical term, a nod to my dad who was a pilot. If we believed in perfection, we would have called it The Landing. Right, it's the approach. It's that penultimate thing. Yeah. I kind of joke, but we don't believe in 100-point scores unless we get one.
Of course, yes, that's
But you know, if we believe in 100-point wine, then where else is there to go? And wine is the one thing I think that you can always do better.
Hmm. Well, mm-hmm. You're always going to do different because every year is different.
That's right.
So
yeah, we're not always totally
you can
in
never
control.
Create the same wine twice, right. Which is, I think, such a special agriculture product that way.
Right. And frustration.
And frustration. It brings so much joy and tears.
Joy, yes. It's both things.
Terrifying and invigorating at the same time.
Okay,
yes.
So let's go back to 2019, 2020. You've got this break from the world, and you start thinking about what isn't even named yet, Convene. What were some of your initial conversations about what you wanted to do?
It's a great question because, you know, it starts with, you know, what are you good at? You know, start there.
Yeah.
Pinot Noir, right? So, and that's what we love. And so I mentioned that we didn't want to do Costa Brown Part 2, but, you know, Pinot Noir is just... You know, that runs through my veins, literally, mm-hmm. You know, and that's what we wanted to do. Now, start there, and then we say, okay, well, stylistically, you can ask yourself, what do you want to make stylistically? Not a good question to ask. You know, that's not a very organic way to look at it. Mm-hmm. So what we did want to do is source from the cooler areas, whether it was Sonoma Coast or Russian River, which basically that means move west. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we did. You know, wine, we've been making wine for 26 years, but we've only made wine 26 times.
I know.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
it's this aircraft carrier that just takes a long time to turn. And that's why we call things evolutions, not revolutions, in what we do. But what we found with the winemaking is that, hey, I really am looking for nuance nowadays. Mm-hmm. Rather than the hedonistic punch that maybe we found ourselves making at Costa Brown years ago in our youth, because I think hedonism and that punch, it's simple. And when you're younger, you don't really understand nuance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier to go with simplicity. But now we're just looking for that nuance, whether it is that, like you mentioned earlier, the combination or different approaches that we use for our barrel aging. Certainly vineyard sources, that's the main thing.
Right.
Like I said, moving a little farther west to cooler climates. So those are some of the things that that have evolved, and we wanted to encapsulate that with the three brands.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
We kind of have like this Volage wine, which is a kind of your everyday wine. That's our Admire. We have our Premier Cru, which is our Convene, and we have our Grand Cru, which is Grail, which is where all of our single vineyards live. So it's kind of just like not modeled after France or Burgundy, but I just, for lack of a better comparison, that's kind of the way we mm-hmm. approach these brands. And I wanted to reach more people.
Yeah.
I also joked that at Costa Brown, you know, my job was to tell people how much wine they couldn't have.
And
I didn't want to do that anymore. I wanted to reach more people, whether it was with Admire or by the glass, or like I said, an everyday drinker or Convene. We just wanted to have inclusiveness.
Mm-hmm. And so when you were brainstorming all this, you kind of looked across the landscape, and that didn't really exist in Pinot Noir, I would imagine. Like,
well, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that. I mean, land is expensive. Out here, Pinot Noir is hard to grow, which mm-hmm. makes it expensive. So the Admire level is, we're having a lot of fun with it because we've never done it before, but it is difficult. It is a challenge. It's $32, and I understand that that's not that cheap, but it's hard to find a good Pinot Noir in that range.
Absolutely.
And then Convene, we liked our blends. So we wanted to keep our blends separate from our single vineyards as far as like this branding, because they're two different exercises. Mm-hmm. Very, very different. Mm-hmm. You know, where that we call blends winemaker wines, because you're a little more hands-on with blending.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with single vineyards, your job is to get out of the way and not mess it up.
Right. So what part has been the fun part in this phase for you?
The fun part is knowing that we can be very deliberate and very proactive. You know, we're not shoestring in this thing.
Yeah.
It's the planning with Shane and I and Sarah. You know, we get to do whatever we want.
Yeah. Mm.
And that was hard back when we were starting Costa Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were on a budget.
Yeah.
Both at home and at the winery, right?
Yeah.
In time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now we're very deliberate in what we do. That's a luxury.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation with Dan Costa. Good stuff with our guest, Dan Costa, founder, owner of Convene by Dan Costa, as well as you're mentioning some of the other brands under that umbrella, Admire, DK Grail, DK Wine Group. So we were talking, you mentioned Shane, which is Shane Finley, your winemaker, and he is another guy that you've just known through lots of years at KB.
Yeah.
Linmar as well, Linmar connection as well. So tell us about Shane and kind of how you tapped him, why you wanted to work with him again.
Yeah, Shane and I have been working together since 2006, and he worked very closely in the cellar with Michael Brown. So, you know, we're coming up on 20 years, and so we know each other a little bit.
Time goes fast.
Yeah, it does. And Shane left to head up Linmar, I think that was 2012, right?
Yeah.
And then I started a little project in 2013 that Sarah helped me out with, and I partnered with Emeril and Alden Lagasse,
mm-hmm.
Making just a little bit of wine. And I wanted to tap Shane because I liked where his head was with winemaking. He's extremely disciplined. He's got, you know, Virginia military guy, right? And but we've really evolved well together as far as our tastes and our approach to winemaking, and a lot of things have changed with how we tackle winemaking, and then with Sarah with branding and everything else. But we just kind of anticipate each other. And it's like, it's a great partnership. And we had mentioned earlier about, you know, what do we want this brand to be? Or what do we want the wines to be? It's a very difficult question, but it's the unspoken stuff that's really cool between Shane and I. We just, like I said, we anticipate what our needs are, what our wants are, and where we're going. So it is just a wonderful partnership.
Yeah, I think it's often much easier to tell people what you don't want than to articulate what you do want.
You're yeah, that's
I
that
don't want
sure.
it to look yeah. like this, mm-hmm. but I'm not exactly sure where I'm going, but I'll know when I get there, I think.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, bring those folks along. Well, I mean, I've just observed, having known both of you, but certainly Dan, I've known you for a long time. Shane, we've talked about Peter, like all these folks that you've sort of mentored or been part of the process. But you've done a lot in our community. And I just want to touch on that first, say thank you, because I don't think there's many calls that you don't answer and say, yes, what do you need, how much, when,
it is a small community.
Are you sure?
Yeah. There's a lot of calls.
So there's a lot of calls, especially when you're, you know, popular and making damn good wine. There's a lot of calls. So just talk a little bit about kind of when you kind of took off sort of just wearing sort of the winery hat and really engaging more, and kind of what has that been like over the past couple of decades in Sonoma County?
It's great. You know, we both Michael Brown and I think we with all our history together, we back in Casa Brown days, we felt very blessed, very lucky. I mean, obviously finding success takes a lot of work, but you know, we were in the right place at the right time for sure. And when you feel that lucky, you really want to help others out that are not as lucky. And that started close to home, whether it was through, you know, the Sonoma County wine auction.
I was gonna say,
right?
Yeah, sure, you've done a lot. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot because
you
but it's
it,
great.
Right, as well.
I did share, I think, in 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big
wow,
lift.
That's a while ago.
That's a big lift. Yeah,
it is a big lift, and it's really fulfilling. And then I was on the Emeril Lagasse Foundation board as mm-hmm. well. Just a lot of other things that it was really conducive. With Costa Brown, we weren't getting out in the traditional way as far as sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. So to get out and pair it with philanthropy, mm-hmm. There's not a lot of jerks in philanthropy.
No.
Right? So you really are meeting really cool people, and we really tried hard to find the best beneficiaries as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important.
And I don't think the general public, certainly if you don't live in a wine region, know just how much the wine community gives back to
no
foundations,
doubt.
Raise right. money, donates auction lots, donates wine, mm-hmm. shows up. Mm-hmm. I think it's really it's something I was really surprised at, having not grown up in Sonoma County, and then you land in this area, and you're just like the generosity of the growers.
We'd like to brag about it. Not brag, but just inform people.
Yeah.
I think that's important, especially when you're in this kind of almost a monoculture.
Yeah.
We give so much back to this community,
100%.
You know,
and other communities. I mean, how many places do you go where you are donating time with you or wine? I mean,
that's
so
for sure. And you know what was nice about that was during the 17 fires, I lost my house, and that was the 17 fires. That was really the start of this trend mm-hmm. of fires, right? And the Lagasse Foundation, they gave back to us. So you know, a lot of the wine growers. Gives so much across the country, but the Lagasse Foundation donated $250,000 to fire relief out here. Mm-hmm. That was the first time it was like that it came back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really
we
cool.
We saw a lot of that.
Yeah.
I remember being on the phone during that time with a guy who lived in Chicago, had been out to Sonoma County, just loved Sonoma County, and was like, I don't have a lot of money, but I'm going to send a check for $25 to support you guys out there.
Isn't that amazing?
And I was like, I know, I still get like a little teary-eyed. I was like, and I remember like being like, oh my God, I mean, just sitting down outside being like, oh my gosh, thank you. And like, thanks for doing that. But more importantly, thanks for caring enough and sharing that story and the connection that this region has, because it's inspiration to make sure we reinvigorate it and bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
it's like farming itself, right? Like that sustainability, you know, put it back into the ground.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I care a little bit.
You do, Chris.
Just a little bit about sustainability.
Well, so now's a good time to talk about it a little bit more. I mean, you know, when working with some of these sites that you're working with Convene and your other labels, like what is your sort of approach to sustainability and how have you brought that into the brand?
Well, I think, you know, Carissa, you were such a big part of that, that it's hard to get away from sustainability in this county.
Well,
right?
Gotcha.
It's required. It's required.
So, so that is so nice to just consider that a given.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That is pretty cool. That's not a choice anymore.
I really love that because I think, you know, in the beginning it was like, well, I was told it was career suicide when we went out and committed as a region to do that.
But no pain, no gain, right?
Right. And I think now I believe that so much. That's like, if Sonoma County is on the label, just know, like, we're all in. We're committed to sustainability. We're thinking about our employees and the community, like we just talked about. We're thinking about how we grow grapes, how we make the wine.
And there's different levels. There's organics.
Sure.
There's biodynamics.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, we're not strict either way.
Agreed.
The sustainability is a hell of a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Organics, we don't own vineyards. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, they're going to be organic. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're not. We prefer organics. The nice thing about, like, organics or biodynamics, whether you buy into it or not, if a wine is being made organically or biodynamically, you know someone's at least paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool.
At a minimum,
that's
a very important
thing. Well, I think anytime you have to go through an audit and certification program, you're on notice that there's certain things you're doing and need to do, which I think is the validation or the credit, the making it credible.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that we were really looking for.
Yeah,
so.
I think that the understood part about sustainability in Sonoma County is just a huge feather in your cap, and for all of us, really.
Yeah.
But that being the base level, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and when people think Sonoma County now, they just automatically think sustainability, and that's important.
Good signs. Yeah. There are good signs out there.
Right. A couple thousand of them.
Yeah.
I should know. I still get a little giddy when I see them, I'll be honest.
They're cool.
It's cool. It
doesn't get old.
It does not get old. No, it does not get old. Well, we should. I want to definitely dive into how we come try the wines. Mm. I assume we can hang out with you at some point besides here.
That was the other thing, too. We wanted to be open. We wanted to have people come try the wines. So when Bacchus Landing was being built in Healdsburg, we gravitated straight there. So I would love to talk more about that. But that's our home.
Yep. We'll take a quick break and we will talk more about your home when we come back. Up with our guest Dan Costa, founder owner of Convene by Dan Costa, and so talk about Bacchus Landing, talk about what people can come and experience and what wines they're going to taste if they come visit.
Bacchus Landing is a co-op. I'm not crazy about that word, but for lack of a better one, there's six tasting rooms there. And they're all very independent, wonderful new spot. I think Bacchus is 3.5-4 years old now, but I wanted to have a home for our winery that was both for events or just everyday tasting, and I've never had a tasting room before. So when I was doing the research, I would go out and I don't go wine tasting. I mean, I live here, right?
Yeah.
So we know people and we don't do the traditional tasting. So I went out and tried to do that, and I found it really difficult because it was like, what is this appointment only stuff? And charging $100 for a tasting, and a lot of the wineries, it was appointment only, and they were empty. I'm like, I kind of like the other way. I like this is a new brand, and I wanted to have at least a complimentary pour. Certainly if we are open and there's space, come on in. We want you to try this wine. And I think we're learning as a community, we're learning that it's probably better to do that, mm-hmm. you know, to be a little bit more open. But for Convene, like I said, I just wanted the people to try the wine. So nowadays, absolutely come on up. We're closed on Tuesday, Wednesdays. That's the only restriction. But we are open, and you'll get a complimentary splash of rosé when you come in. And we want you to try the wines. And it's great because it is kind of one-stop shopping up there. There's seven different wineries pouring out of there.
And you said co-op, but there's literally different tasting rooms.
Yeah, like, we don't share the tasting. There is one room that they actually call the co-op with Dot Wines and Aldina. But no, we all have our own spot. We all have
space,
our own courtyard.
Style,
we
have, own,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you can go there and try all these wines. You can play bocce. You can. There's a pizza oven on the weekends. And there's lots of events. Healdsburg Jazz. We would do 800 people there for Healdsburg Jazz.
It's a great spot.
Yeah. So it's and it's right there off of West Side Road. Not too far. It's like a mile from the Healdsburg Square.
Yeah. Great location. Yeah.
No, and I do love it. You can just wander around and stop by Convene or swing by and try some of the other wines that are there and get a very different experience.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. So
I'm wondering if Sarah would like to add anything that we have not talked about.
I know.
Or anything.
Oh, thanks for thinking of me. Absolutely. You know, as Dan's talking about Bacchus.
Way to go, Virginie.
I know.
You pulled it off there.
Thanks for the lead. But we do, you know, have some new programs that we're really excited about, too. You know, Dan mentioned, you know, we have this great tasting room now and a space to share. We also launched our first wine club this past year. So
nice.
The Costa Collective is
yeah, I didn't know what that was either. I don't know. How do you do this?
I feel like this is like breaking news.
I know. It's major. And so we're doing more events.
Is Collective spelled with a C or a K?
It's with a C.
Okay. Okay. Just curious. Okay.
It's alliterative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Good question.
Just wanted to know.
Good question. But we're doing more events for the wine club coming up March 29th. We're having a spring get-together at Bacchus. Dan will be there. We're going to be opening up the wines. And we're really lucky just to have a place to come and do tastings and share and get to, just give tastes of what we've been working on in the cellar. And
we try to do some happy hours and bring some special guests. And, mm-hmm. and so it's just really monitor the website and our social.
Mm-hmm. And what are those? Since you mentioned
them. Convened by Dan Costa. Yep. ConvenedByDanCosta.com and on Instagram. We're always posting about events, new releases. Just released our rosé of Pinot Noir. So
fantastic.
Newest release is out and happy to share that too.
So sounds like follow along on Instagram at ConvenedByDanCosta.
That's right.
All right. And you can find out about all the news.
Well,
and sign up for the wine club.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that a lot.
Absolutely.
So will they get wines from across the brands in the wine club, or is it the Convene wines?
Well, it's coming together. So we are...
You'll have to come back,
Stay tuned. Okay. Stay tuned.
It is a Convene wine club, but definitely that is the entree into the Grail wines as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, we encourage you to go and check it out. And thank you to our guest, Dan Costa, Sarah Sorgel, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Back to wrap things up on the good stuff. And
fun show.
I know. Yet another reminder of the generosity we have here in Sonoma County within the wine community and the creativity. I mean, both Michael and Dan could have just said, well, we already did this great stuff.
Check it off the list.
And yet they're both still curious and motivated to keep going. It's cool.
So fun. And it has been fun, like you mentioned, and he did as well, just sort of the alumni of, you know, Costa Brown. And it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Big wake.
Yeah, the legacy. Yeah. What a cool legacy.
It is. And it's all pretty recent, too, which is the surprising part.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to it. What are we drinking Tuesday?
Our Tuesday night wine.
Yeah.
Well, since he mentioned, excitingly, and I wanted to reiterate, the free splash of rosé when you go visit the Convene tasting room, I'm going to do the rosé because this is, you know, my midwinter, be inspired that spring is around the corner. Maybe, fingers crossed, hopeful that spring is around the corner. So I'm going to do their 2023 Russian River Valley Rosé Pinot Noir from Convene.
Mm, I love it.
Yes. How about you?
Well, I guess I can't really have that also because you'll be sharing.
Yes.
So I think I'm going to do their 21 Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir.
Nice.
Nod to kind of the focus on cooler climate sites, more western reaching sites. And I have liked those wines a lot.
For sure.
Yeah.
No. Great wines, great people, and an opportunity to, in quotes, convene.
Oh, yes, which we all need more of. And I do see a website is convenewine.com. I think you mentioned some of the social stuff. Bacchus Landing in Healdsburg is at Bacchus Landing Way, which...
Yeah,
it's
go
confusing,
visit there.
But it's sort of not far from Madrona Manor. It's kind of on the way.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep. Good place to just
hang
out.
Easy parking and walk right in and go.
So true.
Go to Convene and then hit all the tasting rooms there and lounge.
During Healdsburg Jazz.
And you can lounge.
Can you
and
lounge?
And Convene. It feels like you can lounge. I mean, there's just a lot of great outdoor space there that you can just kind of hang out.
All right. Anything else you want to mention before we close the show?
No. We're going to be off with the Busa.
Busa. Busa's
Best Somme of the Americas this week. So excited to host that international as well as local group of 70-plus folks coming to Sonoma County. It's always fun to host folks here and share everything we love.
Okay. Well, I hope they learn a lot and taste a lot. And from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that. Good time.